Before we look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I want to just share with you a little bit of a story. You know, we are still in that season of celebrating Christmas. And we come to this season with all kinds of thoughts and minds, different things going on in our lives. We go from a season that's filled with unexpected opportunities and even expected opportunities of getting together with people that we don't always get together with. We come from a time when our routines get upset a little bit and get turned upside down. And sometimes that can be stressful. Sometimes we enjoy those changes. Then we move into the time of a new year when we think about getting back into a routine and with a chance to get into a new routine. Sometimes we're like those shepherds that heard the good news of Christ's birth and we're filled with fear and trembling and not sure what to do with it all. We've seen the good news, we've heard the good news, we've experienced that good news. We've heard the call to go tell it on the mountain, but yet the task seems daunting and overwhelming and not sure how we would even be a part of doing that. And as we continue to journey through these last few days of the Christmas season, we have that celebration of New Year's. We cross that threshold from one year into another. Now, as I share with you this story, I'm going to ask you to work a little bit with me. I hate to do that early in the morning, but sometimes we need to do that. You know, worship isn't about what we're hearing and taking in. It's about what we're part of. I'm not going to ask anybody to get up and to sing and or anybody to do an interpretive dance or anything like that. I'm not even going to ask you to answer a whole bunch of difficult questions. But I want you to engage your imagination for just a minute. Imagine yourself coming up to the door of a great big house, the biggest house you've ever seen in your life. You knock on the door. The master of the house himself answers the door, puts his hand around your shoulder, and invites you to come in. You come into the biggest room you've ever seen. There's people that are milling around this room. In the center of the room is the biggest table that you've ever seen. And it's overflowing with all kinds of different foods. From snacks to the main course to my favorite part of the meal, dessert. Some people are picking away at what's there. Others are visiting with other people. Some of the faces look familiar. Yet some of them, people you've never met before. The master invites you to take a seat on the biggest, comfiest couch you've ever seen. One of those couches that kind of just takes gravity out of the picture. And you settle into it and your body, every muscle in your body rests in this place. The master mills about and continues to mill among you. You can see him with the people, encountering them, engaging them in all kinds of different ways. Before you know it, you find yourself up off the couch and milling around too. Connecting with people that you've never connected with. Connecting with people that you haven't connected with in quite a while. Sharing in this time. Sharing in stories of life. Exploring the room that's there. You notice suddenly that some of the people there are kind of serving each other. They're kind of grabbing things up off the table and handing it out to others. Some are kind of moving some of the furniture that needs to be moved as different people come in. Some are setting out different decorations or different things that kind of ornaments for the room as you kind of move from one time period to the next. Everybody just kind of seems to feel comfortable in serving and helping one another. And before you know it, you find yourself kind of a part of all that's happening. It just becomes a natural part of this time that you're sharing together. Time seems to fly by and stand still all at once. And before you know it, the master puts his arm around you again and leads you to the door, and he almost seems to invite everybody to come at once. And you stand at the threshold, ready to cross over into another room and to see what's there. As we journey through life, we mark off the rooms of our lives with calendars. We begin on the 1st of January and we end on the 31st. And it gives us a way to mark time and to kind of put some boundaries to the space that we're in. But it's God who comes to guide us and lead us through our time of exploring that space and invites us to journey into a new room to explore it in the year that lies ahead. Now, there's many people gathered at that threshold ready to cross over and who are crossing over this weekend. As we leave the room of 2010 and we step into the room of 2011, there are some that are so thankful it's over and can't wait to go flying across that threshold and leave it all behind. Yet there are some that are anxious about what lies ahead. Certainly that anxiousness is filled with all kinds of realities in life. With finances, illnesses, death of loved ones, changing relationships, loss of businesses, the list goes on and on. That anxiousness wondering if they can leave the past behind. Sometimes as we journey through a year, there's things that we do, things that we say, things that we regret, and they seem to surface this time of year. And can we really leave them behind when we cross that threshold? Then there are those that are anxious of, again, of what lies ahead, of who they'll meet in that next room, of what's there that's unexpected, and they don't know what's going to be, and how they're going to handle it if it pops up. But again, it's the Master who walks with us in the exploring of the room. We don't know. We look back at 2010, and there's friends that we met, there's friends that we've lost. There's family that we've enjoyed time with in fresh new ways. And there's family that we regret not being able to be with in the ways that we've been before. We don't know what 2011 will hold. What people we'll meet, what friends we'll see, what people we won't have a chance to see. Because life just gets too busy. But it's God who's at work. It's God's grace moving down through the ages of time, revealed to us in all its fullness and all of its glory. In Christ Jesus, whose birth we celebrate this time of year. As we continue to accept God's invitation, whether it's with excitement or anxiousness, whether it's with anger or fear, as we continue to cross over that threshold together, let's listen to these words that Paul writes in a letter to the church at Ephesus. It's going to be verses 3 through 14, but I'm going to be reading to you from the Message. Again, it's Eugene Peterson's kind of a contemporary language. It's the Scriptures kind of brought alive in a more modern way. It's entitled The God of Glory. How blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ. And He takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Long before He laid down the earth's foundations, He had all of us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, because of His blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. We're free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, but abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans He took such delight in making. And He set it all out before us in Christ. A long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him. Everything in deepest heaven and everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and in everyone. And may God continue to add God's blessing, not only to the reading and to the hearing of God's Word, but as it continues to come alive in our midst, and God continues to work out His glory in our lives as we journey through life together. Paul says that everything we need in Christ has already been provided for. Anything we could possibly need for the new year has already been provided for. Paul makes it clear that we don't cross this threshold of the new year hoping that God won't be surprised by the things that we encounter and will be able to handle. But he reminds us that God's been at work since before we were born, and he knows it all that lies ahead. That it's God who has his eyes on each and every one of us as we journey from one room to the other in the house that he has already created. We heard from the Gospel of John earlier as Robin was leading that everything was made in Christ and through Christ and for Christ. And Paul goes on to say that it's in Christ that we really find out who we are. We really find out what we are living for. He says, long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, Christ had his eye on us. And that now he's working out his goodwill in our lives. And God invites us to be co-workers in that process. We're not puppets on a string, but we've been given the gift of free will. God's given us ears, and God's given us a heart and a mind that we can hear God working in quiet and unexpected ways. But we need to remember to pay attention. We need to remember that as Jesus guides us from one room into the next, as we step over that threshold, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're dealing with, that it's God who's there and will reveal all the things that we need in this new year. When you think that God has his eye on you, what thoughts come to mind? What emotions does it stir up inside of you? I know that for me, if there's times when it stirs up great excitement and great wonder, it stirs up a deep sense of being loved. There are also times when I find myself being asked to do new things, exploring the rooms of life, that it also stirs up anxiousness and wonder of if I could handle the task that's there before me. There are times when I say to myself, surely if God knows all that I've done, all the places that I've been, if he's seen the toilets that I've cracked and the sinks that I've dropped when I used to work as a plumber, surely he's not going to want me touching the fine china in his kingdom. But Paul says in Christ we're abundantly free. Not just free, we're abundantly free. That Christ washes away all those misdeeds, all of those mishaps, and gives us a whole new start. God does that time and time and again in our life. There's a rhythm to life, and we get to experience that each and every day as the sun sets and the sun rises, and as we move through all that comes with that. But there's something about the new year that we realize it in an even deeper way. It's a time when we go about cleaning out email boxes. It's a time when we go away, only getting rid of the boxes of Christmas, but getting rid of clothes that don't fit and aren't needed anymore. It's a time of cleaning out in order to move forward. It's a time when we filled ourselves with all the treats of the holidays and we think about how to purge our bodies as we move into a new year, looking at different ways of exercising and new ways to eat. It's a time of making plans. It's a time of setting goals. It's a time of resolutions and wondering what will happen in it all. But it's God who meets us here today. It's God who meets each and every one of us and invites us to cross the threshold. Do you remember that table I mentioned? That table in the center of the room where people were free to come and go as they please, finding all the food that they need, not only to get through the year, but to share it with others along the way. Reminds me of the table that we gather at here today. Because we come to celebrate the Christmas season. We come to celebrate the moving into a new year with the breaking of the bread and with the sharing of the cup. Remembering that it's Christ the Master who invites us to the table. to share with one another, to serve and to care for one another, to reach out to people that we don't know and to serve and care for them as well. It's a time when we remember the Gospel of John and what we were talking about there, that before anything was created, there was God. And there was Jesus right there in the middle of it all. As words were being spoken and as life was happening, as trees were emerging, as grass was growing, as birds and fish were appearing in all kinds of new ways, as God created man and woman in His image, and even as sin entered the picture and separating God, people from God, God was at work. And as that sin began to build a great divide, God continued to be at work in all kinds of faithful ways to build a bridge across that great divide. And we see that bridge come alive. We see the plans begin to be revealed in the birth of Christ as He comes out of Mary's womb into this manger with no room for His head. And He begins to grow up. And it's not an easy life. It's a life that's filled with trials and tribulations and joy and wonder. It's a time when Mary and Joseph had to flee with Him to Egypt. It's a time when they would lead Him to worship in the temple and lose Him on the way home. It's a time when He would step out in ministry, being baptized into our world, that He might bring others and bring each of us into His. We remember Christ who grows with favor with God and with men as He reaches out, touching and healing people in society and life, breaking down walls that separate them from one another, breaking down walls around hearts that have been built up by the pain of the past, by situations they've experienced, and the spiritual battle that's raging on that's way beyond our understanding. We remember the Christ who grows up walking with His disciples, becoming friends with them in deep and wonderful ways, and all the time teaching them about life and how to care for others, teaching them to do the very things that He was doing, knowing in all this time, even though we don't know what lies in the new year, Christ knew what lie ahead for Him. He knew the time would come when He'd be asked to humble Himself, not enough to be born in a manger, but to die on a cross, where He would not only take the sin of the people around Him, but He would take the sin of all of us in all times and all places upon that cross, that we might truly be abundantly free, as Paul says. We remember that night before He would give up His life. He would come to Jerusalem for that last time. He would gather with His disciples. They would come into an upper room where everything they needed for the Passover meal was already provided and set out before them in a great big table in the middle of the room. And it was there that Christ would celebrate the Passover as He had done time and time again. It was there that He would give thanks to the bread like He'd done before, but then He would break the bread. And He'd say, "This is My body, this is My life, which is given for you. And oh, it's an abundant life. Take it, eat it, in remembrance of Me." And the meal would continue. The disciples would continue to wrestle with all that was going on in their lives, all that was going on in the world. They'd wrestle with what the kingdom of God was all about as they were trying to figure it out. And Christ would offer up the cup of blessing. He'd give thanks for the fruit of the vine. He'd look into the eyes of His beloved and He'd say, "This is My blood. It's the blood of the new covenant, and it's poured out for you, and it's poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it often and as often as you do. Do it in remembrance of Me." And so we come together today to remember. To remember not only what Christ has done, but to celebrate and to remember what Christ is doing. That it's Christ who's at work among us, inviting us to step together over the threshold into the year 2011. We join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Good and gracious God, as we gather in this place, as we gather in this space, bind us together in ways that You and You alone can do. Continue to make Your presence known to each and every one of us. Continue to wash away those things that keep us from being free in you and exploring the kingdom and the room that you've got ahead of us. Open up our hearts that we will let others in, that we might hear of their lives and hear of their stories and be willing to step out in faith and to share our own. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, Lord, and let us come alive as your people in this time and in this place. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice. Let them be for us the body and the blood of Christ broken and shed, poured out for the world, that we might be free indeed, abundantly free in you. That we might know the hope, the joy, the love, the peace, and all the forgiveness, mercy, and grace that you bring into our lives each and every day. And that we might have the courage and boldness to share it with others. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your church, gathered in all times and all your places. Tear down the walls that separate us and let us rise up and let your light come alive and shine in fresh new ways in this new year. Keep us safe as we journey together through this new year, helping us to recognize the way that you're providing and meeting every need that comes along the way, and continuing to draw us closer and closer together until that day when we would sit together and feast with you in person at that heavenly banquet table. To you be the glory, Lord, as we look forward to what you do with this time. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Robin, would you help me in serving communion? As we celebrate communion today, I remind you that the communion table is open to everyone. That it's Christ who offers and extends the open-armed invitation to come and to share in this gift of God's presence with us. With that promise to be with the two or three that are gathered in his name in a very special way.